from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, September the 2nd, 2012. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on idols, images, yokes, and worshiping false gods.
Lord, in Jesus' name, we just bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We take our seat in the heavenly places for above principalities and powers. And Lord, we take the Kratos, Dunamis, Exousia power you've given us in the name of Jesus to bind and loose. And we bind every principality, power, ruler of darkness, lead spirit in heavenly places in all of our lives, over this camp, over anyone coming and watching through the internet. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us, over our homes, our children, our family, our finances, over the saints all over this earth, over Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, every person who works here, and all of our lives, over our ministries. We just break your power, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have that authority. And we thank you that we can submit to you and resist the devil, and he has to flee. And Lord, we, in the name of Jesus, strengthen hands that are weak and knees that are feeble, and we make straight paths for our feet, so that the limb which is lame will not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. I talked to someone the other night that grew up, and this is not a part of the message, but I believe this illustration will set you free on the potter's wheel. If you grew up being loved based on your performance, then you receive a lie when you get saved. You receive a lie that to please God, you have to perform. And it wears you out. Praise God, it wears you out because you can't do it. And God is the potter. That's what the Word says. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. So anything that's not light and easy and is burdensome, vexing, chafing, annoying, is not the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is light and easy. And also, he's meek and lowly. And recently, after Merle was telling me about that he felt that like the root to my eye problems was pride, and a spirit of Leviathan, the Lord, a revelation came out of that. When I deny myself and take up my cross, and when I wear the yoke of Jesus, I am manifesting Jesus, who is meek and lowly. If I rear up in my flesh like I did the other day at the airport, that was a different yoke, and that was a spirit of Leviathan. When you're rearing up in the flesh, you're operating under a spirit of Leviathan. But when you're operating under the yoke of Jesus that you can only wear when you deny yourself, take up your cross, you are operating under the character and nature of Jesus, which is meek and lowliness. And you have to put on meekness. It's something you have to choose to do. But he says, come unto me, and you can't see a yoke. It is not visible to the human eye. It's a yoke in the spirit, like the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe, and that's a good place to be in the days we're living in. We run into the name of Jesus is a strong tower, and that tower, you can't see it with the human eye, but it's more real than this physical building we're sitting in. So in the days ahead, we better stay in God's refuge, which is His name. I believe another word for it is Zion, and I really believe the Lord's calling me to do a teaching on Zion. I've never really quite understood it, and so I asked the Lord to put that together, Lord. But in the days we're living in, if we wear the yoke of Jesus, can only wear it as we're dead to ourselves, as we mortify the deeds of our flesh. Can we wear the yoke of Jesus? And then when we're dead to us, the life of the living Lord Jesus comes through, which is His love, His joy, His peace, His long-suffering, His gentleness, His faith, and His meekness and self-control. And so the next one. And so He offers us to come under His yoke. For us to come to Him, we have to be willing to yield to Him, to choose His way over our way, His plan over our plan, His attitudes over our attitudes, His word over our word, His will over our will. And for us to, and another word for it is submit to Him, yield to Him, present your body to God as a living sacrifice, walk in the Spirit, decrease that He might increase. And so He offers us to come. And I want you to notice that one of these clay figures has got more junk than the other one. One looks good to the world. The other one looks like a mess, right? And I really believe that God gave me this years ago for people that were legalistic. Because sometimes when you teach the Word, they want to say, oh, that's legalism. It's actually legalism to not be on the potter's wheel. Okay, the next one. The reason we don't come. Now, the one with all the junk is the one that yielded to the Lord. And it could have been either one, but I like to use the one with all the junk. Now, a real potter, he takes out this, you know, in the olden days, the clay had sticks and rocks and weeds in it. He takes out the sticks, the rocks, the weeds. He takes the junk out. But actually, the potter does everything. He takes the junk out. He adds water to make the clay pliable. He beats the bubbles out, which is what he's doing right now in our lives. He's beating a lot of the bubbles out. He fires the clay. He fashions it. He molds it. He shapes it. He makes it into what he preordained for it to be before the foundation of the world. Before God let your mother and dad conceive you, He had a plan for you. And if you yield to the potter, you cannot miss it. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be thinking, if you're yielded to God as you know how to be, don't think you missed God. You didn't. You couldn't. It's impossible. Because He's the potter. And another thing, when you're in the potter's hands, the one world order, the Illuminati, the Muslims, and all your enemies cannot touch you. How dare they think they can touch you when you're in the hands of the potter? An illustration call use when you're in the bag. When you're outside the bag, you're in trouble because that's where the fiery darts fly. Outside of God's refuge, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, you will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Okay, the next one. Now, this one that didn't come, back it up, Don. That one is there's a reasons we don't come. Some of the reasons we don't come is we think, God, I want you, but I think you're afraid. If you grew up with a mom and dad that didn't want you, the lie is, God don't want me, so I don't come because He don't want me. Or if they molested you, well, I'm afraid to come because He'll hurt me like my mother and father hurt me. I want to come, but I'm afraid to come. And that's a demonic fear of God that comes in through being afraid of your mother and father. But there's also a willful not coming. I know what your word says, God, but I'm not coming. Now, this person is really in trouble. But anyway, that's rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, right? Would you say that's legalism not to come? Now, to abide in Christ, go ahead and do the next one, Don. Those of you who grew up having to perform, can y'all all see that? You're trying to make yourself into something that you think in your mind. We talked about images. You're trying to make yourself into your image. When you yield to the potter, it's His image, not your image. Hallelujah. Because God says everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreordained, He predestined to become conformed into the image of His Son. So any other image that you're being conformed into is the image of the beast. Whatever you want to call it, whatever name you want to put on it, You can get the image of God or the image of beast. If you let other people control you, you're getting conformed into their image, instead of which is the image of the beast. Okay, the next one, Don. I don't go because I don't want to let go of my idol. Some of you are tormented because you're holding unforgiveness. Some of you, there's people that I know that I really believe the Lord's shown me, they don't want to get well, because if they got well, they wouldn't get attention anymore. They want the idol of attention so bad that they won't do whatever it takes to get free. The woman with the issue of the blood, she kept on pushing through the crowd, as Richard was saying, to push means to resist. She kept pushing through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And this person won't let go because he is subject to slavery all of his life because he fears death, dying to himself. Next one. Or if you grew up with an abusive parent, I'm afraid to come. I want to come, but I don't come. See, all these people are still in rebellion if you don't yield. It's all witchcraft, and that is legalism, is witchcraft. Okay, dividing. The next one, please. The next one is, I don't come because I get everything perfect. How many of you have been like me in earlier years in your prayer time? You know that God won't hear your, if you don't confess your sins. If you regard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear your prayers. So in your prayer time, you keep on confessing sins. You kept on confessing, thinking you're never good enough to go to Him. Hey, just admit you're rotten. Admit your clay's full of junk. Okay, so I thought you can't get everything perfect before you come. It's only when you come that He makes you perfect, where it says, be perfect as I'm perfect, be holy as I'm holy. Well, how do I do that? Well, it says in 1 John 3:6, if whoever abides in Him doesn't sin. You see, this is abiding in Christ, to come and rest. What does the clay do? It rests on the potter's wheel. Is that right? One job the clay has is to stay on the potter's wheel. Stay yielded, stay obedient. And, you know, sometimes when you say obedient, you're thinking, oh boy, I got to crank it up, I got to do something. Well, you do have to obey. That's why I like to say yield, surrender. What is a person that's been arrested? I know that Richard has shared about him being arrested before. What does a person that's been arrested do? He does exactly as he's told. So use the word yield, let the Holy Spirit arrest you, and you will obey. Okay, the next one. Or, you know, you feel like you've got to punish yourself. You're too bad. God don't love you. He won't want you. You can't be saved. And really that idea comes in through earthly parents that tell you that you can never be good enough. Being trained up that you can't make it. And you need to forgive them for that. Okay, the next one. Or you got to clean yourself up. You got to do it yourself. You cannot do it yourself. I was taught the Lord helps those that help themselves. And I felt guilty because I couldn't help myself. Anybody there? Maybe they don't teach you that now, but they did back in earlier years. Okay, the next one. Or, you know, God, I don't like what you're doing. I want you to make me into an expensive vase, not this old common gravy bowl. Okay, the next one. Or I'm out of here. That's the person that always leaves rather than deals with his sin. Okay, back to the very first one, Don. If you'll back it up. He said that one, the one where he's on the potter's wheel. Next one. Okay, this is how you're perfect as he's perfect, holy as he's holy. You're still a mess. How can I be holy looking like that with all the junk in me? How can I be perfect when I have all those junk in me? You know, under the old covenant, God wouldn't take a sacrifice with a defect in it. If it was blind or lame. Yes, he wouldn't take it with a defect. Well, he says, present your body to me as a living sacrifice. Well, I got a problem. I got defects. Even this glass is a defect. And I have a defect. Scars in my nose. That's a defect. And so we're all full of defects. And so how can I be perfect as He's perfect? How can I present myself to Him as a living sacrifice when He says He won't take an imperfect sacrifice? What? I've got a problem. How is that? Because when I get on the altar, His blood is appropriated. His blood is perfect. His blood is holy. And that's how I'm holy, as He's holy, perfect as He's perfect. So stay on the potter's wheel. You fall off, get back on. How do you get back on? Confess your sins. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So you see, obedience is not legalism. Disobedience is legalism. Disobedience is rebellion. Disobedience is witchcraft. And you see that lie has permeated the church that, oh, well, you know, we're just covered by everything. Well, God says work out your salvation. Okay, that's for those of you. It's really for all of us. God, it really helps me to know that if I stay yielded to God, you know, you may think, well, my ministry's not doing good like somebody else's, or, you know, blah, blah, this here. See, God says comparing yourself to one another, you're not wise. God has a special work for you, Marilyn. Is she in here? Is Marilyn in here? God's got a special work for each of you to do. If it's just witness to the waiters and the waitresses. I see so many of the lost sheep. You know, one thing I pray, God says, when God overshadowed Peter, guess what? Everybody in His presence was healed. Right? And so if we're in the bag, we're overshadowed by Him. And wherever we go, lives are going to change because of His shadow over us, like He overshadowed Peter. So I pray for myself, and I pray for you and my family, that wherever we go, we are overshadowed. And the divine, since I've been praying that, the divine appointments that come into my life, the other day I took the telephone man through deliverance. And I was wanting him to leave, but he kept talking to me. And I was saying, Lord, I've got so much to do. Would you please make him leave? I mean, I was praying this to myself. And so I was getting ready to leave, and I discerned he had a homosexual spirit. But I didn't tell him that. And so I said, well, finally when he was going to leave, I said, well, come in the kitchen. I didn't say come in. I said, let me go get, and he followed me in my kitchen, some books I wrote on grief. And I started telling him about my son Todd. He started sobbing, crying. Now, you tell me that was a divine appointment. I said, sit down. I took him through deliverance, and he was just glory. He was sobbing, and he was lifting his hands to praise God, and he was worshiping God. Wasn't worshiping me, but God. And that made my day, even though I felt I was too busy to do such a thing. But when you're overshadowed by God, everybody in your... Last night we were in the restaurant, Kyle and Carla and I, and I gave a young man a book on how he could know how he could have eternal life, or where he was going when he was leaving here. And when we left, he was reading it in the kitchen. And I have people tell me, well, listen, when I get on break, I'll read this. They don't reject it when it's God ordaining your circumstances. He's bringing you the lost sheep of the house of Israel that are out there in the world. Okay, that's that message. But I feel like that I needed to do that. I promised, in fact, Sweetie Pie back there, she asked me if I would show the potter's wheel. Okay, this message is idols, images, yokes, and the worshiping of false gods. Last night I shared that when you are provoked to anger as a child, when you're not trained up in the way that you should go, your fathers and mothers provoke you to anger. You may not feel that anger. It's settled down there, and it'll pop out just when God's wanting to show you what the root of it is. But you're provoked to anger, and as little children, we don't know that the Word says, don't let the sun go down on your anger because you give a mighty foothold to the devil. We don't know that, but because parents model for us a picture of what God's like, the lie is we can't go to God because He's a part of the problem. So what we do is we turn to something to comfort our heart. If we're not loved, we may unconsciously or consciously say, when I grow up, life's going to be different. I want to find somebody that loves me. that becomes an image or an idol, or if you're called a big stand up in the road, or you're criticized because you're too fat, as I was, the image is I got to be petite to be acceptable. And we talked about the images and how they got there. We're provoked to anger. We may not feel the anger, or we may feel it. We receive a lie, and our heart is drawn to an idol. And it says that we shared last night about having a broken spirit, a wounded spirit, is an idol, a pain, a wound. Wherever you don't turn to God, you got a wound, and you may not know you have it till 50 years later. Because if He showed you all your wounds at once, you couldn't handle it. The Scripture says He doesn't drive them out in one day. He drives them out little by little, lest they become too numerous for you and overwhelm you. And so He says, come unto Me. There's the yoke of Jesus. It's light and easy, and you shall have rest for your soul. Now, this is the next message, right? Okay, great. Okay, just hold on. Okay, I want you to ask yourself still to show you the negative emotions in your life that are working in your life. Anger, bitterness, resentment, self-pity, attention getting, which is, you know, it doesn't sound like an emotion, but let me tell you, there's emotions tied in with it. Bitterness, resentment, unbelief, all of these things. I want you to ask the Lord to show you, or ask the Holy Spirit to show you, ask yourself, ask God to confirm, to tell you, what's working in my life? Wherever you have an idol, I can tell you, if you have 1,000 idols, you'll have 1,000 different spirits of bitterness. Because around every idol, you're going to have bitterness, anger, depression, discouragement, etc., etc. And so you don't get rid. You can get rid of a generational root of bitterness, but there's bitterness wherever there's an idol. There's fear wherever there's an idol. There's anger wherever there's an idol. There's a pain. So many people resist this teaching, but I can tell you, every time I have seen over the years, people repent of their vexation, pain will leave their body. And everything you have done in your life that's been unconfessed, God uses that to help you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Been into witchcraft, hey, there's lots of issues that God's wanting to deal with. But vexation means grief, it means sorrow, it means hurt, it means anger, it means idolatry. It says remove it from your heart and you can put pain out of your body. And those of you who've taken pain medicine know that it doesn't really work for a little while, then you need something stronger. And as Merle said, all doctors do is help you manage whatever the situation is. But I know that the answer to my eye problems is not going to the world and letting them stick needles in my eyes, because now I've got another problem. I got scar tissue from the eye, from the needles, and I can tell you, had I done that whenever, I would be worse off today than I am. And God is in charge of my eyes, and I want to go on serving Him, and He'll let me have my eyes as long as He thinks I need them. And that was very depressing for 2 or 3 days till I have to just die to it, but yet I don't want to just lay down. I want to keep on looking. And so ask the Lord to show you. And I can tell you, all these negative emotions are tied in with expectations, which is idolatry. You better do this. You better not do that. You better love me. You better value me. You better meet my needs. You better see how wonderful I am. You better spend time with me. Whatever's pushing your button in your marriage or with relationships or with your children, with your grandchildren, is connected to an idol. And Chris Simpson said, anger is attached to a hot wire that's attached to an idol. But anger is tied in with all of these negative emotions. Resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness is all tied in with anger. You and I get angry because I expect you to love me. I expect you to meet my needs. I expect you to behave yourself. I expect you to listen to me, to communicate with me, to spend time with me, to love me, to accept me, to notice for me, to perform for me, make me secure, meet my needs, listen to me, include me, make me look good, compliment me. I expect you to do what I want you to do, etc., etc., and the list goes on, and you could add your own. Whatever makes you mad, whatever pushes your button, whatever causes you to take a nosedive, whatever makes you fearful, all these areas, whenever I'm trusting an idol, I'm in unbelief and doubt, and I do have anxious thoughts because I'm so busy trying to figure out how I'm going to get you to love me. You see, I'm so busy trying to figure out what you need to do to make me feel wonderful. And I protect those idols. And idolatry, wanting you to love me and wanting you to accept me, will cause me to get into sin because I want man's attention more than I want God's attention. If you're one of these attention getters, can I tell you God watches you? He guards you like He guards the pupil of His eye. He's watching over you. He loves you. If you knew how much He loved you, He's not like your daddy and mom. He won't hurt you. Everything He wants for you is for your own good. Don had a wonderful message about how giving over your will to God, you think, oh, you know, this is going to make me miserable and unhappy. That's only where joy comes from. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And you can deceive yourself and think, you know, you don't have any joy because your heart's clean. But can I tell you, there's always more. You can be totally submitted to God, 100%. He's the Lord of your life. But can I tell you, you won't be perfect till you enter eternity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted. You know what most people don't witness because God hadn't, they're religious in the church and can't say God's done anything for them. And because of that, they don't want to share with anybody what God's done for them. When you know what God's done for your life, as Kyle said, when you know what God's done for your life, you want to tell everybody. When I got saved, I'm telling you, I got saved. And I haven't always told, well, I would try, but I mean, there'd be times I would force myself to witness, but there was something in me that held back. And whatever that was left about 3 years ago when the people in my prayer group prayed for me about something because I was going to go to New York City with my grandson. I was going to go to New York City with him, and I knew it was a teaching thing for him. And so they started praying for me, and whatever was in me that was holding back from witness, in other words, the thing that I didn't have to force myself anymore. And I always did it, but I was forcing myself to do it. Whatever I got delivered from liberated me in that area. I shared that in church, and Kyle's twin sister said, oh boy, if you got rid of that holding back spirit, oh boy, we're in trouble. But you know what? A lot of that was too, as God is working in me. You know, I see that I had boldness too, that was fleshly boldness. Courage, because it was fleshly courage and not meek boldness that the Holy Spirit gives. A friend of mine sent out an article recently on meekness. She's in our prayer group. And basically she said, was Jesus more meek when He washed the disciples' feet or when He took a whip and turned over the money changers? You see, there was two sides of Jesus, so we need to operate only when God tells us to. And He's trying to deliver me from just that. Somebody shared a while ago, God was trying to make them go speak more. He's trying to get me to be quiet and be under the spirit of meekness, under the yoke of Jesus, and not generational boldness that's out of the flesh. Somebody once asked me, isn't it normal for people to have needs? Yes, it's normal to want to be loved. It's normal to want to fit in. It's normal to want to be a part. It's normal to want to be recognized, to be affirmed. That's normal. But the problem comes in is when you get anxious and angry when you don't get it. Or if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. Or if you don't have it, you fear you won't get it. You see, you know it's an idol when you've got these negative emotions there. In Matthew 5, it says, make friends. It says that if you teach the Old Testament is not important, that you'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. I'm just going to tell you what it says. And then it gives, It gives all the blessings. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it goes on with all the blessings. And then there's only one curse, and that's you go in a spiritual prison when you're angry. And so anger is leaked into idolatry. As the Bible says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. In Deuteronomy 32, and because of time, I'm not going to read it, but in Deuteronomy 32, it talks about God's people, they worshipped false gods and made God jealous, so He turns them over to jealousy and anger and fear and plagues and terror and bitterness. And it says they're from the wrong vine, the vine of Sodom. The true vine produces love, joy, peace, long suffering. And it says the enemy himself knows if you're connected to the true vine or if you're connected to the vine of Sodom. And Lord, I just, in Jesus' name, we ask you, put your hands on your ears. We ask you to give us ears to hear. Lord, I thank you for the truth and the revelation knowledge that's going to come forth. I thank you that lives are going to be changed because, Lord, a picture is worth a thousand words, or whatever that saying is. I don't even remember. Okay. And then it says in Matthew 5 that if you're angry with your brother, God turns you over to the judge. You're turned over to the judge to the officer, which is a demon power, and you be put in prison. Wherever you are into idolatry, you're in a spiritual prison, according to Matthew 5. And if you're angry at 5,000 people, you're in 5,000 different prisons, not counting the ones that came down generationally on you. Now, this is not to just get you so overwhelmed you think, oh, dear God, I'm a hopeless case. No, you're not. That's why God says He drives them out little by little. If you do step one, then He shows you step two. Lord, it just looks like a forest in front of me. I look like a hopeless case. Lord, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to show me the first thing you want me to deal with. And He'll walk you out of it. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And you see, just now as I read that, I was convicted. I haven't been a person that spared my words. You see, as you repent over the word, your soul will prosper. Beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So your financial prosperity and your health will be in proportion to a prospering soul. Okay, Job 36:13, if you'll go there, please. Lord, thank you that these glasses haven't fell off my nose. Okay, Job 36:13. It says, but the godless in heart layeth anger. They do not cry for help when He binds them. You know, if you grow up and you weren't allowed to express your emotions and you had to stuff them, some of you are stuffers. And if you stuff things, it's going to come out in physical things. It can come out in headaches. It can come out a lot of different ways. It's going to come out. I heard Kyle say years ago that if a parent don't discipline their child and use the rod on them, they're going to be angry at them and it's going to come out somewhere else. And so God doesn't want us, He wants us to speak the truth in love and to share our heart and to do it in love. We can't do it in love till we get the logs out of our eyes. And the scripture says, you hypocrite, get the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly. That's another root to eye problems, is logs in the eyes. Then you can see clearly when you get the logs out of your eyes. So that tells me I got a whole bunch of logs to go. But I'm working on them. Okay, it says, but the godless in heart layeth anger. They do not cry for help when He binds them. And then there's people that are stuffers of their emotions, and then there's people that are exploders. You'll either be an exploder or you'll be a stuffer. But God wants you to find out what makes you want to explode, what makes you angry, repent of it, and then you can speak the truth in love. I used to let things build up because the scripture said a wife is to keep quiet and she can win her husband by a word. Well, I would stuff it. I know it's hard for y'all to believe I'd stuff it, but I did. I would stuff it. And then when I got all I could take, and I'd even nail a board over my mouth in the spirit. And then I'd take all I could take, and then I would explode, and whoever got in the way got in trouble. And I don't do that anymore, and I thank God for that. But I used to do it because I thought that I would be a rebellious wife if I didn't do that. And my first husband took off with his secretary, so I didn't want to be a two-time loser, so I was trying to be good. In my first marriage, I was the controller. In my second marriage, I was the controlee. And now I hope I have a decent balance now. I think I could do better now. Okay, James 1:19 through 26 says, if you want to turn there, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. There's another convicting scripture for me. I got the slow to anger thing because of lots of years of deliverance, but the quick thing I'm working on, the quick to be quiet, quick to listen. James 1:20, "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, because God says that the righteousness of God is through loving God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself." Is that right? And so if I'm angry, I'm not loving God with my whole heart or my neighbor as myself. So that's why the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And Lord, I ask you to loose angels into this room. There's just so much, the enemy's trying to distract. And I ask you, God, to just bind every spirit of distraction. And Lord, we ask you to, I bind the demons that would try to distort the word or keep people from having hearing ears. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you will loose angels to put a holy angelic tape recorder inside of us to record the word of God on our hearts. You said to write it on our hearts, and so we ask you to write it on our hearts as we read the word. It says, "Therefore, putting aside the reason why I am slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger, because it breaks God's law of love. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." You see, if you're a church member and you're not a doer of the word but a hearer of the word, you're deluded. Have you been that person? Then repent of that, because delusion will leave as you begin to repent. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. It says that if a man is just a hearer of the word and he's not a doer, he's like a man that looks in his face in a mirror and he sees himself. But if he's just a hearer and not a doer, he'll walk away and forget what he looked like. Because the word tells you what you look like, right? But then you walk away and you forget what you look like. And so anger and all of its manifestations, its negative emotions, is idolatry. Go to Colossians 3:5-8. And I like the King James Version says, "Therefore mortify the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." Carla, would you read from King James what that says? Colossians, because I've got the numeric and standard here. I just had the mortify. Keep reading. Stop right there. You see, when I have those things in my life, I'm under the wrath of God wherever those things are in my life. You see that? Okay, the wrath of God, and I can. This is not the teaching, but the wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness. Whenever I've got idols, I'm not making Jesus Lord, so I have no covenant. I've broke covenant with the Lord. Okay, now read Ephesians 5:5. Read it, Carla. You see, that's not taught in the church because there's many, I thank God for a godly pastor, but there's many pastors that are into pornography and having sex with church members, and the Bible says that after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So if you're sitting under a pervert that's teaching you, guess what? You're going to become like him. And the Bible says, walk with wise men and become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Amen. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Uh-huh. Yes, and you know if he's not teaching on the cross, he's not teaching you to deal with your sin. He's not having messages of the cross, of the crucified life. He's not teaching holiness and righteousness. You can know right there, that there's a scripture that says that if we're taken up for the wicked, that's working in us. So, in fact, I just tell you, if you're not in a church that's teaching the message of the cross, get out and find another one, because that's another gospel and another Jesus. And if they're not teaching righteousness and holiness, and somebody say, well, I don't know any churches like that. Well, God will lead you to it. Start your own little church in your house. Two or three, where two or three are gathered. And I believe in the days we're living in, it's going to go more toward that. Because out there, the New Age movement has infiltrated the church. Okay, go to Deuteronomy 29:9. It says, so keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. We say, well, I'm not prospering. What's wrong here? Well, you need to find out where your covenant with God's been broken. You know, when you enter into a relationship with Jesus to be the bride of Christ, you've entered into a covenant relationship with Him to be His possession. That means no other God can have lordship over your life. No other thing can have lordship. Keep them and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. You stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God, your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel. Let's just go down to verse 15. 14. Okay, let me see where I need to read here. Let's just read the whole chapter, but start at 17. Moreover, you shall have been, you have seen their abominations and their idols of wood, stone, and silver, and gold, which they had with them, lest there should be any among you, a man or a woman, or family or tribe, whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations, lest there should be among you a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood. You see, that's the fruit of idolatry. That's in verse 18. And it shall be when he hears the words of this curse that he will boast, saying, I have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my own heart. That's what they're saying out there, these easy, greasy grace teachers, and praise God it's grace or I'd be dead and you'd be dead. Thank God for His grace, but grace has something to say. It tells you to live soberly and righteously in this present age, according to Titus 2. Go to Titus 2, please. I thank God for His grace. Verse 12. 2:12 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And of course, we know that's if they receive Him. Instructing us. This is what grace has to say. It instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself. Now, this is the reason He died for you and gave you His grace. He's given you His grace to obey. He said, you who gave Himself for us that He might, number one, redeem us from every lawless deed. Can I tell you, that is the sanctification of the soul. That is working out your salvation with fear and trembling. That He might deliver you from every lawless deed. And I know your sin is covered by the blood of Jesus, but there's been lots of lawless deeds you've never confessed. And that's the purpose of what you go through, so God can use what you go through to show you where you missed Him, where you have an unresolved issue. And it's not because God's mad at you. God just loves you and wants to clean you up. And I like what Richard said. Our pipes are rusty and the Word of God clears them out. Amen? That's not to condemn anybody. If you've got a physical problem, you can say, well, you know, I don't know what your life is, but you know what? If you are solely surrendered to the Lord, that's not a condemnation. That just means there's more things God wants you to see. God's brought us a long way, and that's the sanctification process. He died at Calvary that we might be sanctified, that we might have the strength, the energy, the vitality. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, but that we might have the strength, energy, grace, vitality to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that means deliverance from the molestation of the enemy. That's what salvation means. And we've been molested in every place we have walked contrarily to this word. Our mother and father, you could have the best mother and daddy in the world, and I think I probably had. But let me tell you something, they were not perfect people. And so we're born with a lot of stuff. So that's what grace has to say. Acts 15, well, let's go back to Deuteronomy 9. Can somebody tell me what time it is? It's 10 minutes to 12. I need to speed this message up. I said Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 29. I'm sorry, 29. Okay. It says in verse 18, lest there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Lest there should be among you a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood. There's bitterness. And it shall be... Somebody read that for me. I'm having a problem here reading.
Come to pass, and he heareth the words of his curse, and he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall add peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add brokenness to earth.
Okay, so we hear that in the church. I have peace. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I can walk in the stubbornness of my own heart. You hear that today. It says, I have peace, even though I'm walking in idolatry. What a lie. Okay, keep on, Dan.
The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in his book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven.
Time to read that in Revelation where he'll erase your name from the book of life. And I'm not teaching save, lost, save, lost, lost, save, lost, save. Salvation is a walk. You walk it out. You're saved, you're being saved, and you'll ultimately be saved. That's working it out. And see, I have lots of... We all have lots of... You know, I can tell you, Jesus is Lord of my life. I'm as yielded as I know how to be. But there's so much in my life I don't even see. I used to have an example. I used to think my boldness was godly boldness because I just didn't have fear to do that. And I was so deceived because my boldness was fleshly boldness. But I used that scripture, the godly are as bold as a lion. You see how that I had some deception there. And I have, you know, we can be totally yielded and there's so much deception we don't even see. But if we have vexed, if we have pain in our body, emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, sexual pain. I had a precious person tell me that they were being attacked in their private parts. I said, have you ever been into sexual sin? Yes, many times. Well, guess what? Through soul ties, they're still there. Their physical body may not be on you, but their spirit parts, their human spirit, is attached to you every place you were violated. Same with abortions. If you've had an abortion, if you haven't had your wounds cleaned from abortion, guess what? The carcass of that dead baby is not there, but the human spirit of that baby is still there till it's cleansed out by the blood of Jesus. And that's not a condemnation. God knows we're but dust. He knows we are so frail, and like Kyle said, God is the only one in this room that can help anybody. And that is true. Okay, I'm going to Acts 15:9. Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for putting yokes on his disciples. Acts 15:9, and he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their heart by faith. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor us have been able to bear? I'm just going to read these fast because I want to finish the message, but I also I'm going to read these scriptures that in Matthew 23:15, God says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you." In other words, if I'm trying to control you, I make you twice as much a son of hell as I am. Don't let anybody control you but the Holy Spirit, because the scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom and liberty. And it say he goes on in Mark to say that you set aside your traditions. You say if a man, Mark 7:10, for Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is put to death. There's another scripture that convicts me. I've spoke evil of my mother and father. The eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother, his eye will be plucked out by the ravens of the valley. Kind of sounds like macular degeneration to me. Coming down through the generations and through my own sin. And I've repented. I'm bringing these out to show you there's a reason why we've got everything we've got. Or we don't have everything that God has promised us, our inheritance. Okay, Don, if you'll turn on the next one, I'm going to do this real fast. Okay, each of these rocks in this man's yoke, there's the yoke of Jesus, and then there's the yokes that men and women put on you. In this case, each of the rocks in this man's yoke represents somebody's image or somebody's false god. Usually in his wife, or if he fears man, or he's trying to live up to expectations of someone else. Okay, next one, Don. So each of those rocks represent an image. Okay, the flesh guard up there is Satan, and he's controlling this man. Each of these tombstones is it represents one of the images, or one of the idols, or the images that we talked about last night. One of the mental pictures or images, and Satan is controlling this man through the demons in these false gods. And he does it because usually a man fears he'll lose his god of sex or security, or his wife will leave, or fear of man, or he's afraid of somebody's anger, his wife's anger, or someone else's. And he has fear, and so he's got a demon of fear and anger attacking him to make him bow down. And you see how this man is controlled by the false gods in his wife, or the false gods in whoever is controlling him. Okay, the next one, Don. And same with the woman. Each of these represents a rock, expectation her husband has of her. Okay, the next one, Don. And here she's bowing down to the false gods of her husband, or the false gods of whoever's controlling her. And Satan, you see, we've got it mixed up. True authority is God's authority in your little children, Dan. If your little children is speaking Jesus, that's God. God says, my sheep hear my voice and they'll obey me, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger, which is the voice of another. That's what stranger means. They'll hear the voice of the good shepherd, not the voice of a stranger. And you know it's the God speaking if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. You know, this morning the Lord showed me the scripture in James. It says, from the wisdom from above, you know it's God speaking. If the wisdom from above is first peaceable, fruit of, somebody quote that. Easy to be entreated. Go ahead and, full of mercy. Read it, then. It's in James 3. The wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable. James 3, it's the very end of James. Read it, Carl.
The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace.
Okay, so you know if it's the wisdom from a God, from above, if it's first peaceful, pure, full of mercy, unwavering, without hypocrisy, you know it's and it brings peace. And usually a woman will bow down because of her God. You know, the security of a home, or not wanting a divorce, or maybe she hadn't worked in her whole life, and now she's going to have to get a job. And so, okay, the next one, Don. And this is a self-inflicted yoke. Each of these represents the expectations I have of myself. Now, you can't see the yoke. You can't see it in the physical with the human eye. It's a spiritual yoke. It can also be the root of neck problems, the root of headaches, the root of a stiff neck, or just being stubborn, stiff-necked. And each of these rocks represent the expectations I have of myself, coming in through the images I have of what I think I need to be perfect, or what I have to do to be a success, or what my children have to be, or what kind of home I have to have. Okay, next one, Don. So you see, this man is bowing down to Satan through these false gods. And it says in Revelation 9:20 that if we have idols, we worship demons. It says that in Deuteronomy 32, the children of Israel, Jezer and Guphat, and produced from the flesh, which means his heart becomes so hard that he produced from the flesh and he couldn't hear God. Okay? I just wanted you to see that, because that's how we bow down to false gods. Because of our false God, we bow down because we don't want to lose our God. And as Don said, we have to give it all to God, regardless. Okay, if we feel like we're restricted in any area, then we need to find out, we need to examine, what yoke do I have on my neck? Do I have one that's light and easy? Am I being meek and lowly, or am I being fleshly bold? Am I full of pride? Is this pride thing manifesting, or is this the yoke of Jesus, which is meek and lowly? Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set you free, therefore keep standing firm and do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 1 Peter 2:16, and it's not love to serve somebody's demons, because who are you going to love more, God or their demons? 1 Peter 2:16, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. 2 Peter 2:19, speaking of a false church, religious church, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. When I read that this morning, eyes full of adultery, another root to eye problems. I've already repented over it, but I'm saying I want to point these things out, that there's sin behind these eye problem. And I'm not walking around in condemnation because I know God's got mad at me. I'm just working it out and trying to obey and stay under His yoke until God touches me. And I've even taken that up the mountain. Lord, if you think I can be blind and serve you better, I give it to you. I give it all to you. I want to say this, and I really appreciate Lake Hamilton. I appreciate Don and Richard and Tom and all of the teachers, Carla and the people, Don and Ada and Linda and Patty and Kevin. I hope I'm not leaving anyone out. Who? Anyway, I appreciate the fact that we're all a work in progress, but Jesus is the Lord and Master of our life. And that's why I appreciate this place. And so many, I have people call me all the time and want deliverance. And I say, you know, you can come to my meeting and get a couple of deliverance sessions, but you can come to Lake Hamilton and get prayer every morning by people that are not into all of that mess out there. You can actually get demons by people laying unholy hands on you. Anyway, there's a lot of scriptures I can use about wearing the yoke of Jesus and authority. You know, God told the disciples, the Pharisees told the disciples in the book of Acts, you can teach under any name, but you better not use the name of Jesus. And they said, we have to obey God than man. We have to love God and care for Him more than we care for our idols and for other people. Another example of someone that would today they'd have said, well, she was in rebellion to authority was Abigail. She went to Nabal to try to feed David's troops, and he said, who is this dog David that I should give him my food? So she went around her husband because she recognized God's authority in David, and God killed Nabal. He didn't kill her. Acts 5, he told the woman, why have you agreed to do this thing Ananias was the man. Anyway, Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit and it said, you know, Peter said, we'll be carrying your body out of here. Then he goes to the wife and he said, is it true that you've done this thing, that you've agreed with your husband in this thing? And anyway, he said, because you've agreed with your husband to do this thing, your body's being carried out of here. Kill the woman. Go to 1 Kings, and you see how, let's see, I better do it in this Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 3, another example would be in Solomon. In chapter 3, verse 3, it says, now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Read all of that, but I'm just picking out parts. In verse 29 of chapter 4, now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom surprised the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom. And let me just find the other scripture. Go to 1 Kings chapter 11. And I think this applies to not only men, but it applies to women. You better make sure that you've got the yoke of Jesus on, because you'll be destroyed by worshiping someone else's idols. And you'll also be destroyed if you're a rebel and you won't submit to God's ordained authority through authority. So I'm telling you, you better submit to authority, but as unto the Lord. As unto the voice of the good shepherd, that is first peaceful, pure, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. Chapter 11, it says, now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughters of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonite, and Hittite women from the nations concerning. He loved these worldly women, idolatrous women, which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, neither shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods. Solomon held fast to these in love. He wouldn't let go of them. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart away. For it came about when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been. This man that was given more wisdom and discernment than anyone on the earth. We need to be careful. He's got more than we had. We need to be careful. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the detestable idol of the Ammonites. And Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not follow the Lord fully, as his father David had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable idol of Moab, on the mountain which is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the detestable idol of the sons of Ammon. Thus also he did for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. He built altars for all of them. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. So the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it over to your servant, destroyed by the false gods of other people. And I believe it applies to men and women. So we need to make sure the voice we're hearing is first peaceable, pure, full of mercy, unwavering, good fruits, and without hypocrisy. That's the voice of the Good Shepherd, according to this word. And then I'm just going to share one other. There's so many scriptures I could show you that tie in with this, but because of time, it says, well, I'll just quote this one. In Proverbs 25, I believe, it says, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. In other words, when I compromise, I'm like a polluted well. And then the book of Daniel, you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. The king made this golden image and said, you better bow down to it. And they didn't say, oh, you demonic king, I'm not bowing down to your demons. They just said, oh, king, we cannot do this thing. And they wouldn't bow down. He said, okay, I'm going to put you in a fiery furnace and I'm going to make it four times hotter. And they were tied up in all their robes, their hats, they had their clothes on. They were tied up, put in that fiery furnace. And the King Nebuchadnezzar saw them walking around, loosed in the fire. They came out with not even the smell of smoke. And we're going to be living in days like that. I understand there is a mandatory RFID chip in the Obama package. And you're going to be sorely tested. And if you can't stand now, how are you thinking you're going to stand against the one world order when they say, take this mark or you can't buy or sell? I encourage you to go on to Times Square Church. Carter Common has a message on the mark of the beast. He said that Satan sends out his demons to mark the church, the true church. And the demons come back and say, they tell the devil, we can't put a mark on them. They're already marked.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want a harlot's forehead that says 666 already on it. I want the mind of Christ. And so Nebuchadnezzar was enraged because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow down to his false god. And it says that Nebuchadnezzar goes over to the door of the furnace and he says, come out of there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's no God like yours. Now, had they bowed down, they would have thought, he don't even think enough of his God to stand to be persecuted. Whenever you don't bow down, you're going to go into a fiery furnace, whatever that is going to be. You may find yourself all alone somewhere. But you won't be alone when you have Jesus. And this is a promise for those of you who've been believing God to change family members. Go to 1 Samuel 12:14. I think that's the one. And I'm going to close with that one. 1 Samuel 12. Did I say 12? 12:14, for those of you wives that are believing God's going to change your husbands, or husbands that are believing God to change your wives. 14, if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and listen to His voice, which is first pure, peaceable, meek, full of mercy, unwavering, good fruits, without hypocrisy, and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king. And when I say king, it could be a man or woman. It could be a demon through a false god. And the king who reigns over you we'll follow the Lord your God. That couldn't be a demon. But if you're letting somebody else control you, that's your king. Who reigns over you will follow back up. Then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. And if you will not listen to the voice of the Lord your God, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand, separate holy from the profane, and see this great thing the Lord will do before your eyes. Glory to God. Is that a promise? But as long as I'm enabling people by bowing down to their demons and pampering their demons, and I love what Carla said, God showed her she's being too nice to the devil. So we don't need to be nice to the devil. Okay, stand up, and I want you to ask the Lord to show you all the negative emotions that are going on in your own life where you feel you don't have the freedom of the Lord. And Lord, I ask you to search my heart. Show me every place that I'm bowing down to false gods. I ask for the truth, Lord, that sets me free. Lord, I want the idols out of my life. Show me wherever the vexation... Can I tell you wherever you have an idol? Like if I don't turn to God in my pain, if Carla makes me mad, which she don't, and I leave here and I don't deal with it and I let the sun go down on my anger... Guess what? I'm vexed every time I think of Carla. Grief, anger, sorrow, hurt. Wherever if I don't turn to the Lord, to the cross, and deal with it, I'm turning to something else. Like, I just won't talk to her anymore. Or I'm not going to share my heart with her anymore. Did I just turn to a false god? Instead of turning to God, wherever you turn to a false god, there's going to be vexation. And the vexation is going to bring physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, sexual pain. I had a man who'd come out of homosexuality call me. He said him and his wife had hosted about 17 to 20 seminars for me. So they knew principles. So they called me and they said, he'd come out of a homosexual lifestyle. And he said, I'm having excruciating pain in my rectum. Do you have any insight? And I just said, break soul ties with every person that you've had perverted sex with. He emailed me back within 15 minutes, and he said the minute he had forgiven and broke soul ties and got rid of the vexation that came in through sexual sin, through sodomy, he said I was instantly healed. And I've seen that happen for years and years and years. I have seen that happen, that when you get the vexation out of your heart, you can put pain out of your body. Bless the Lord. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to show me every place that I have grief, sadness, hurt, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, torture, torment, and any sin, Lord, in my life. Show me what I need to repent of today. Write this on my heart. As a way of life, to live in repentance to you, Lord. Search my heart, O God. Test my thoughts. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And restore to me the joy of my salvation. And just sit down when you're through and then we'll pray. Who's controlling you? Is it the yoke of Jesus or is it something else? Yokes of Jesus are not grueling, chafing, annoying, and vexing. They're light and easy. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for fear of man. Forgive me for bowing down to people's demons. Because I'm afraid I'll lose my idol. Forgive me for fear, doubt, unbelief. Anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, unbelief and doubt, worry, terror, jealousy, envy, pride, bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, murder. God, forgive me. I just ask you to forgive. Lord, I repent. I get on the potter's wheel. I yield to you. I present my body to you, Lord. as a living sacrifice. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you made provision for me at Calvary. That you gave me everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything I need to be victorious. Everything I need to be an overcomer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have had mercy on me and you haven't already killed me. I just give you praise. Forgive me for rebellion. Antichrist. Questioning the Word of God to justify why I don't have to obey. Forgive me for legalism. Forgive me for perfectionism and the anger and the intolerance that goes with it. Praise you, Lord. Now every demon that came in through everything they confessed has to go. We break soul ties with every person that they are they have controlled or who are that has controlled them. We break soul ties with every person they've sinned with, had sex with. We call back their soul and spirit from them. We send back their souls and spirits to them. We exchange their image for the image of Christ. And I command the image of the beast out. I command headaches out. I command in Jesus' name, stubborn, stiff neck, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of resisting the yoke, all spirits of haughtiness, arrogance, boastfulness, out of all of us, myself included, get out in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Pricks in the eyes have to go. Thorns in the side have to go in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in through everything that we've confessed, leave in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And Lord, I put on meekness and I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help me from this day by your grace to make no provision for the flesh. And Lord, we ask you to bless this food, consecrate it, sanctify it, purify it, bless it to nourish our bodies, bless it to kill cancer cells, bless it, Lord, to boost our immune system and our metabolism. And Lord, we receive it with gratitude and we thank you for another day of food in America. We don't take it for granted, Lord. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. They're waiting for us. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.